Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Greet you in his name tonight. The brother, as he read tonight from James, those three verses came to my mind. God is looking for men and women tonight that are willing to walk and to stand and to sit in the places where our lives can be a reflection, that we can see ourselves in the light of God's word, and that we walk so that we're never ashamed of that, and that we see ourselves as the purity of God's word. I invite your attention tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And it's directed somewhat to the youth. I don't know that it's just for the youth, though. Sometimes in a meeting like this, I feel bad because I don't always just have a sermon, what I would call a sermon just directly for the youth, but that's kind of where my mind went today. But if I was to give a title to my sermon tonight, I would say, My Heart or God's Heart. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, rejoice in them all. Yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When I think of verse 7 tonight, it is a wonderful thing to be alive tonight. You know, you talk to a man of the world, he will say, when you ask him how he is this morning, and he'll say, well, better than the alternative. If you and I tonight have our lives cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the alternative of going to glory would be better than here on life. But I just thought of that as I thought of that tonight. But I believe that God, as he has created mankind, desires for us to love life. I think the Lord would have us to enjoy the things that he has made in light of honoring him. It is a, just think tonight of when you walk, take a walk, and you breathe fresh air. And while you're taking that walk, you can, in a slow motion, see things that God has made. And it does something for your soul. Maybe looking at that sunset as it sets to the west across the Alaska Range. There is a place there on the K Beach Road that I enjoy driving in the winter. And if you go there when the sun is setting, those orange hues across that mountain range. But if you turn around and look to the east, There is the Kenai Mountains on the backside, and there you have a whole different color. But it's like, I guess it's kind of like a mirror. But one different ray creates a different ray at a different angle. Those, I think, are just a few of the things. And there's things that yuns have here that I don't know about that you can see, and it takes your mind to God. A spring flower. Or maybe you're a man that enjoys a good steak. Maybe you're a person that enjoys something that your mother bakes that you don't often get. There are things, I believe, that God, as He has created us, the light is sweet and pleasant. I don't believe that God made us so that we walk around as though we just had a jar full of dill pickles. I just don't. I think life is meant to be enjoyed. 1 Timothy 6 would tell us, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, but trust in uncertain riches, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Not anything of what I have done. It is the good things God has created. Verse 8 tonight would tell us that we need to remember that even though if we should live to be old, and that we enjoy life to its fullest, eternity is so much longer than the longest life that will ever be lived here. You and I tonight, we need to live in the context within that design that God has made for you and I, to live within that plan and to be happy in that plan. We all walk different paths here tonight. It's one of those interesting things that as you meditate on that, of how God brings things in my life and it creates my path. He brings things into your life that creates your path. But all those paths are beautiful as we walk with God. I believe there is a reason where in Psalms that it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that while we live life eternal, we may live to be old, all those different things, we can walk in that beauty of being at rest with what God has meant for me to do. It may be little, it may be much. But whatever that is, to live within that context, and when we do that, that light shines bright. Verse 9, you and I can choose tonight to follow our own heart. We can pursue what we enjoy best. But there is one thing that you and I need to remember, that for all those things that we pursue, all those things that are pleasurable to us, and the way that our heart would enjoy to please itself. But know thou this, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. We will give an account to God someday. And you know, it's not a light thing to think of standing before God. I do believe that we, with assurance, with Jesus' blood upon our souls, that we can look with that with a desire for heaven, a desire to meet him, not in arrogancy, but in the power of his blood. But you and I, every one of us here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, we are all going to someday stand before the throne of God, and we will give an account for life. And we do well tonight to take care of that beforehand. The scripture tells us that some man's sins go beforehand, and some men's sins follow after. It all depends what you and I do with the sin issue here on earth, of how we stand there that day. And you know something else? God is going to judge us according to his standard. It won't be according to my perception of life. It's not going to be according to my interpretation of things. It's not going to be according to how I feel. No. It's going to be on God's, the way he rules, the way God does things. That's how we're going to be give account for. It does a man good. It does me good to read the scriptures often, but read those scriptures that tell us about judgment, about how life is, how you are to live. That is why what that scripture that brother read tonight about standing in front of the mirror. See, you and I tonight, I guess I'll just say myself, you know, we can see another man's faults. They look pretty big. And somehow the pimple that's on my forehead is just pretty small. But everybody else can see it. That's what I'm talking about. We need to face reality tonight. Childhood and youth pass quickly, according to verse 10. But I am not that old, but I'm going to tell you, youth, tonight, that to make choices not based on just present tense. But make your decisions based in light of long term, based on light of eternity. Because life at its longest is but just a breath. Life is so short and brief. When I think of all this tonight, I think the one thing that you and I need to remember as we think of that is I think we all need to think of our Creator. That's a point that I have. You and I tonight are not our own. I do not have a right to myself, and you do not have a right to yourself. God has made you and I each. I would have said earlier that God has made us that we can be happy, pleasant individuals. But that only can happen in him. All other joy, all other happiness is empty and frivolous. But in Jesus Christ tonight, in the Creator, God has created you and I tonight, and I believe that is something that we all believe. But it is in God's heart that you and I love him. It is in the heart of the Creator that we know him. And it is the heart of the Creator that we serve him. The Creator made a way for us to deal with our sins, Jesus Christ, to redeem us and to give us His Spirit, to enlighten our path, to draw us toward Him, to keep us from evil. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye are of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That verse just sums it all up, that we are not our own. The second one I have tonight is to remember God. I would have just spoke of the Creator. God is the Creator. He is our Heavenly Father. Youth, tonight you have a good memory. When you get a little older in life, we'll just say it like this tonight, the gears can turn and not always do they get traction. You don't always remember. Use your memory in a productive way. Remember things that things of life are stepping stones, instead of remembering things that trip you up and make it a stumbling block. Depend with so many things in life tonight. How you and I look at, they will either be a stumbling block or they'll be a stepping stone. And so often it is strictly based upon my perception and my attitude. See, lemonade is made from lemons. But think of tonight of the kindness of God. If you want to meditate upon God, if you want to remember, just meditate on the goodness and the kindness of the Lord. Psalm 40 and verse 5 would tell us, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." So the other night I spoke of my sins, that if God was to write my sins down, you know, the walls and the ceiling of this building, well, could it contain all those sins? When you think of the loving kindness of God toward you and I, the same would be true of that. They are countless. They cannot be numbered. Every Monday morning at home, me and five other men meet. And it's a little accountability group that we have created. And the first thing that we do after we pray is that every man says three things: what God has done for him and that he's thankful for. It's just one of the things that we think help us to set our minds right. Remember God. Third one I have, remember in your youth. Remember God in your youth. It will pave the way for a long and blessed life. More importantly from that, it will save you from a corrupt and perverse life. It will save you from the consequences of a selfish and a lustful life. Youth is a time of vigor. Youth is a time of you don't grow tired, do you? Activity. You have the vigor to do that. And you love it. It is something that is pleasurable to you. But in all of that, remember, faith, hope, love. Embrace that in your youth. Begin to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. Meditate upon the love of God. Read the scriptures of His love. Pray. Scripture says to pray without ceasing. That means be in an attitude where at any moment you can breathe a short or long prayer, where you can commune, you can have a dialogue with God through the day. It is a time where you can build strength. You can build courage. It gives you many advantages for life ahead. In serving God. Last night I would have spoke of a sound mind. And that is one of the things that I think about. It is of youth that live a pure and a morally pure life and not think of what alcohol and drugs, the devastation they can do to a mind. And if we seek after God in our youth, you can accomplish much for Him. Old age will come quick enough. With old age comes aches and pains. And things are not as pleasant as they once were of many things that now you love to do. I have also remembered now. Youthfulness brings no guarantee of life. It doesn't bring certainty of life. In your youth, you can push that thought away. You know, someday I'll mature. Someday I'll be serious with life. Someday I will give serious thought to that. You know, I often think of that day. It was on November, I believe it was the 13th. I was in eighth grade of school. My classmate, Lisa, she was 10 days older than I. She lived a half a mile from school, and she walked back to and fro school, from school every day. That day, HEA was cutting trees that day for a right-of-way. Somehow, Lisa walked through, past that man that was there to keep people away. That tree crashed. And a twig that hit her was no bigger than my thumb, very small. But she died instantly. There are things that God brings in life in His graciousness. If that would have been me that day, I wouldn't have stood before God with a clean slate. So remember now, I don't say that to, it's reality. It's reality. It can happen to any of us. Remember now thy Creator. It's a foundational fact that it will have a direct bearing on our choices of life if we remember now our Creator. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So now, to the rest of the time, I would like to just thinking of all that, and I would just like to think of, is it my heart that I am pursuing to please, or is it God's heart that I am pursuing? In Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now this was right before the flood. This was when Noah was building the ark. God destroyed the earth with water. But wickedness of men is what drove God to destroy the earth and all the people therein. What this verse tells you and I tonight is this: that when my actions grieve the heart of God, that tells me and you that God is not in possession of my heart. Pretty simple. If the actions that I do tonight grieve the heart of God, then I know that my heart is not in possession with God. Numbers 15 is the second scripture that I have tonight on this. Verse 39, "And this was to the children of Israel." The verse says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-warring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." There are things that you and I tonight do. I pray that you do them from a heart, that you do it to please God. But there are things that we do and practice tonight that are as much for the keeping of our soul and a reflection for us to know and that of what God has done for you and I. There are practices tonight, precautions that we do, so that you and I do not lose sight of what God has done for us. The children of Israel had the fringe of blue on the hem of their skirt. That was to be a reminder of what God had done for them. You may think, well, first thing that may come to your mind is nonconformity, the way we dress. That would be right. You have the core issue of modesty, of what dictates that. But there is also the side that you and I dress appropriately because of what we are saved from, and we are thankful for that, and it spurs action. There are also things that we do not do to keep us from temptation. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Because when you and I pursue the heart of God, then there's many things in life that we refrain from as a positive because of what it does for our own soul, and it's not a negative. See, so many things in life of our perspective of why we do things make a total difference. Do you see that strictly as negatives? Or do you see the reason of why you practice. And right now, my mind is blank of a certain illustration. But of why, of what you do, and you see it as a positive, because what it does, it keeps your heart alert and your minds and your eyes focused upon God. And that's positive. But we tend, as humankind, born of lower nature, we like to think of things in negative sense. And all that does is drags us down in the ditch. The next one I have is Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If we set our heart to seek after God tonight, we will find God. Because a seeking Lord will find a seeking heart. He will in no wise cast thee out. But you know, if you and I are honest tonight, if I am honest, the biggest issue to this whole thing is self. The devil is excellent at filling our minds with things so that our mind becomes dull of seeing the need of that communion with God. It can be, you know, whatever your passion of heart is. You know, so often, this is how I find it in my life. When I was speaking of our fire burning low last night, it's not that the devil just comes along in bold, blanted terms and say, you don't want to love God. No, what he does, he brings things. He brings things in our lives that take away the appetite for that, those sweet things of the Word of God. We become dull and indifferent, and he takes away the passion. And we can skip reading our Bible today, and we don't even think about it. That is a tool of the devil. Flesh. And we may as well call flesh what it is tonight. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. If you and I tonight want to have a heart that seeks after God, we need to allow the scalpel of Jesus Christ to scrape away the flesh of our heart. Are we willing to do that tonight? Are we willing to let... You know, the Bible says how the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I am told that, you know, in that day, if they knew that they had a sharp sword, is if they could shave the hair off of their arms. That's what I'm told. They would just flick that thing along their skin, and if they could shave the hair off their arm, they knew that the sword was sharp. But the Word of God is sharper than that yet. That is what the Scripture tells us tonight. It gives us a picture that we understand that the Word of God can be that scraper of scraping the flesh away from our heart, peeling away those those parts and issues that keep us from God. Are you and I willing tonight to let God to, as He has done that we set boundaries in our lives? Are you and I willing tonight, if you know that you have an issue of maybe, well, if you have an issue with immoral thoughts, and you know that there is a certain place that you can go by that is direct, or you can drive a mile out of the way so that your mind stays pure, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to resist temptation? What is that value to you? If we allow the tool of God on our heart, we're not even going to think long because we know which way we're going. Are you and I going to justify what I do, or am I going to be willing to deny my flesh, even though it may not be wrong, so that my brother that stands beside me can walk in victory? Maybe there are things that you know. I think of the scripture of Paul and the thing of eating meats, and I will eat no meat for my brother's sake. Are you and I willing tonight? Do you and I value the life of my brother? That a small forbearance on my part of not doing something that I would enjoy, so that he can experience full victory. Is that even a question in your heart? Matthew 6 and verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So tonight, if the things of God are your treasure, if the things that God loves, and you love them, then that's where your heart is. But if you tonight, if you love money, if you love clothes, if you love sweaters, if you love everybody here, I don't know how many is here tonight, but there's probably 20 different things that you struggle with that are a temptation to you. What this scripture is saying is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We try to, in Anabaptist circles, we try to work around this verse, because money's pretty dear to us. Pocketbook, you know, it's just pretty close to the heart. But what the scripture says is plain and simple: where your treasure is, where you put your money, where you place your ambitions to, that's where your heart is. People my age, men of my age, business and money is a tremendous temptation to us. Young people like you over here, it may be, it's your vehicles, it's the passions of your hobbies. Over here, the ladies, it's multiple things too, and you probably know them better than I do. But treasure, it's the things that we value. Not what you say, it's what, when you go to look at your credit card bill and when you go to look at your checkbook and when you try to figure out where all your $20 bills went, then that'll tell you where your heart is. You know, when the offering basket goes by, I sure like to give, but I run a little tight, you know. The Lord will understand. But you know, if I need a new rain gear to go deer hunting, or if I need to buy that rifle that may weigh 2 pounds less than the one I have, so that when I hike into the back country, and it's, you know, I'll save money and I'll do what it has to do and I will buy it. It's where your treasure is. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. If the heart of Jesus is meek and lowly tonight, then my heart needs to be meek and lowly. And your heart needs to be meek and lowly. Can you and I accept things that we don't consider to be what we love? Are you and I of the mind tonight that we can be entreated? Take my yoke upon you. Gives a clear picture of two walking together, both tied, that yoke. The one is tied to the other, or yoked or bound, however you want to say that. But you get that picture of two, you walk side by side. You can fight it, you can do what you want, but you're still together. That invitation is there. Take my yoke. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. If my heart tonight belongs to God, then my heart is pure. If my heart is not pure, then my heart is not owned by God, or does not belong to God. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. If you're like me tonight, we want to be able to enter that holy place. It says here that we need to have clean hands and a pure heart and a soul that hasn't lifted itself up in what I would call pride, but we're of a humble spirit. We all have a heart tonight. We all have a master. We all have things that we love. Every one of us tonight have things we love. Do we love the things of God? Or do we love things that please myself? God would have us to be a joyful people tonight. God would have it that we would be people that enjoy the things that he has done for us. That is my prayer for each of us tonight. That we would remember now our Creator, whether we're young or whether we're old. Because our last breath may not be that far away. Thank you for your attention tonight. God bless each of you. Pray for the services tomorrow. I know you have been. I have sensed keenly your prayers, and I thank you for them. I'm a man such as you tonight, but I keenly sense your prayers, and I want to thank you for that. So let's stand to pray.